Amen. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. The incredible promises and declarations of God. They're laced in Scripture. Declarations that says who he is, what he's come to do, what he's doing even now, 2,000 years later. Scripture says in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 9, "Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you." This great God declares new things. This is more than just a new year. This is more than just resolutions. This is more than just all these commitments that we make that just seem to falter days later. No, this is about a work that comes from the throne room of God. It's about a work that comes from heaven. I was reading this morning that when Jesus' ministry was increasing and John the Baptist's was decreasing, John the Baptist's disciples thought, "Hey, what's going on here?" So he said it. They said, "Hey, the one that you baptized, he's baptizing more than us." And he said this. He says, let me tell you something. A man can receive nothing unless it comes from heaven. Everything that you and I have that's good, that is right, comes from heaven. Comes from God. Your plan, God's plan for you in the redemptive story, the redemptive work of God, that comes from God. And yes, we're to walk in faith, and yes, we're to walk in obedience. You know that about me. But ultimately, it comes from God. And this is what he goes on to say. He says, "He must increase, I must decrease." It's a very powerful thought here. That here is this great God who comes to do new things by which he is ever increasing in our lives, ever increasing in our marriages, ever increasing in our families, our sons, our daughters, ever increasing. That's what new things are about. Declarations of who God is and what he intends to do. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 15 through 21 is a really powerful passage of scripture because he says this, "I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel. I'm your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariots and the horse." Do you know what he's saying? He said, "I'm the one who makes a way. When your way seems so uncertain, when your way seems so difficult, I'm the one who makes a way. If you feel like you're pressed between an army and a sea, hey, I'm the God who opens the sea that you walk through. Dry land. I'm the one who gives deliverance. Listen, I bring forth the chariots and the horse, the army and the mighty man. They'll lie down together and not rise again. They have been quenched and extinguished like a wick. So don't call to mind the former things or ponder the things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it?" God's incredible promise in Old Testament, and then in a moment we'll look in New Testament, is that he is always doing something new. And I think it's really interesting because in verse 19, he's saying, look, or 18, don't call to mind the former things. Don't keep thinking about the past. I'm doing something new. And I want to do it in your life. I want to do it in every aspect of your life, every role of your life, in every circumstance. I do great things. I declare them, and I'm telling you now that I will do something new. These are declarations of God. These are things that God says he intends to do. Our text today will be from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. I want you to turn to that, and then I want to do some confessionals here, okay? Did it here a few months ago. I want to do it again today based upon these promises that we're looking through over the next few weeks together. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to begin in verse 14. I want you to notice what he says, "For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all. That's Jesus. Therefore, all of us died. And he who died for all, so that they who live might no longer live, watch, for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we're going to recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation, and the old things passed away, and behold, new things have come. Now, we're going to get a little bit more into this later in the sermon, but this is really important. The makeup in the Greek language is the old things are past, period, done. Amen? But the new things, behold, they have come. Which means, yes, they have come, and they're going to have this tremendous effect the rest of your life. So it's almost like saying they have come, they are coming even now, and they will continue to come as long as you and I are alive. Amen. If you're not dead, he's not done. If you're alive right here, he's not done with you. And there's something new always that God wants to do in your life. And I think the prophet said it great. Hey, quit pondering the things of the past. I'm doing something new. I'm going to do it. Watch this. Will you not be aware of it? If you've noticed over the last several weeks, I've been praying just for our church. And when I make this statement or this prayer statement, Lord, would you visit us today? And will we not miss the visitation? Because folks can miss their visitation. We saw that in Jesus' ministry when he's coming to the last week of his life. And he's weeping over the city because of folk were visited by this great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And they missed their visitation. And I don't want to miss that. I don't want to miss that as your pastor. I don't want to miss that as a husband to John Ann, or a dad to my kids, or a paw to my grandchildren, or a pastor to our church. Don't want to miss the visitation. Personally, individually, and corporately as the body of Christ. Behold, I'm doing something. I will do something new. That's the declaration. And then I'm going to do it. I am going to do this. I'm doing something new. And then we come to New Testament and our God is always doing something new. This is a declaration. It's an affirmation. And so what I want to do right now is we do this probably once a year. We've done it last year, kind of later in the year. But I want you to stand with me right now, okay? And I want to move through some declarations that are really meaningful to me. And I know meaningful to you when we do this. Now, I've got a hard copy of this out on the two tables, okay? And you got to really stick with me, okay? I know sometimes we do it really boldly, and then we kind of fade out. But we're not going to fade out like the way y'all clap sometimes, okay? All right? So, like, if I'm going to clap, I'm going to clap, right? Or if I'm going to declare it, I'm going to declare it. Now, I know these are words that you're repeating, helping you to articulate. But I'm just convinced that when I declare things like this, that just something gets deep down in me to not only believe it, but with a commitment to do it by the power of Jesus. Now, there's some things in here that we're to do, and there's just some things that we declare. But I'm telling you, it's something that we all believe, and it's all from Scripture. So you got to repeat after me, okay? Because you don't have the copy before you. All right, so I'm going to just try to do it the best I can for you. But I really want you to speak it today. Would you do that? Amen, okay. So this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day of salvation. Therefore, I will not ponder the things that are past. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Today is a new day. The Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, I have everything that I need. Therefore, I am content with every circumstance I find myself. The Lord is my refuge, a very present help in trouble. I am blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. As Jesus Christ is in the world, so am I. I am born again to a living hope, kept by the power of God, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, born again by the Word of God, and I'm complete in Christ Jesus. You believe that today?
Amen.
Amen, right? Right? My sins are nailed to the cross. And I'm sealed in the Holy Spirit of promise. And by His grace, I rule and I reign in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is my Heavenly Father. Jesus is my Lord. And the Holy Spirit is my helper. I'm a product of His love. I have love, joy, peace. Patience. Right, yeah. Right. Amen. Patience. Yeah. Right. Kindness. I have goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am striven in all power by the might of the Lord. My new nature is divine. And the weapons of my warfare, they're mighty in God to tearing down strongholds, casting down imaginations. And every thought, right now, right here, that exalts itself against the Word of God. And by God's grace, I bring every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus. All things are under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's been given to be the head of all things, to the church, which is His body, which is us, the fullness of Him that fills all in all. And He disarmed the rulers and authorities. He made a public display of them, having triumphed over them. And in this covenant, and in His word, and with His name, He has given us authority to tread upon all the powers of the enemy. And nothing by any means will harm me. I always triumph in the name of Jesus. I always triumph in the name of Jesus. And now, Lord Jesus, from Your throne of grace, I receive mercy and grace in my time of need. I receive the work and the blood of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, I remove from myself all oppression, all the works of darkness. In the name of Jesus, I will not walk in agreement with the works of legalism, doubt, unbelief, fear, worry, or any sin that would entangle me today. I proclaim my freedom in the name of Christ. In the name of Jesus, I speak peace and walk in peace. And remove in Jesus' name all the works of the enemy. I am strengthened in all the power of the mind of God. And You are my Father, my provider, my shepherd, my Lord. You are a King of kings, Lord of lords, our Prince of Peace. You are Emmanuel, mighty God, wonderful Counselor. You are Jesus, my Savior, my deliverer, my peace, my healer, my righteousness, and my sanctifier. And I will worship you forever. Amen. Amen. So pray with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, as we move into this next series, this next message, Lord, today, as we teach today, as we speak, as we preach, Lord, on all things becoming new, I pray, Father, that you would absolutely, totally just move within us, speak to each individual heart with a specific word from you about what you want to do in their lives this day. I'm not talking next week. I'm not talking next year. I'm not talking about a word for the year. I'm talking for a word right now, right here. And in the name of Jesus, I pray that you'd speak to us because, Lord, we're listening. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. So let me tell you about these new things. Yeah, you can be seated. Yeah. Let me tell you about these new things. You find this in this passage of Scripture. See, in the middle of this passage, there is the great promise, right? The great promise that says to you and me that we are new creations in Christ Jesus. The old things have passed, and behold, new things have come and are coming. And what are the new things? Well, first of all, I want to move back to the passage in verse 14 that says, for the love of Christ controls us. This is a new kind of love. When we look at new things, we're not talking about something that's necessarily recent, like a toy out of the factory, or a car that's new with all that smell, you know, that's all, if you've ever bought a new car, you know, this is the new smell that sticks there for about a year, maybe 6 months. Not talking about that. We're talking new of another kind. And yeah, it's fresh. And yeah, it seems recent. It seems immediate. It's a newness of another kind. And this love that controls us is a love of another kind. You can't find it in the world. You can't find it in just in relationships without Christ Jesus. I mean, it's a new kind of love. The Bible says right here, he says, listen, it's the love that controls us. It's interesting about the word control here. The word control means it's like it's used for like somebody being pressed in all around by a crowd, being taken by the crowd. It's the love of God pressed in all around you that just takes you, that impels you, that compels you to the things that love does. That's what this is. This is a love that controls us, and it's the love of Christ. It's not the love of the world. It's not the love of the enemy. It's not some fleshly kind of love. It's agape love. It is phileo love of the Holy Scriptures. It also has the meaning that we're being held by it. No, the love of God is a new kind of love that controls us and that compels us and that brings us on, moves us on. Now, one of the great passages of scriptures on this love is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I want you to turn there. We won't look at the whole passage, but I want you to notice some of the qualities of this love that is to compel you. That presses in all around you. That changes your life because it's something new, it's something fresh, it's something alive, it's something living. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels but don't have this kind of love, I have become a noisy gong or a clangy cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, know all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing, nothing. And then if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, if I surrender my body to be burned, but I don't have this kind of love, it profits me nothing. I can be gifted. I can have gifts that seem to be operating. I can have all those things. But if I don't have love, it profits me nothing. Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, perform miracles in your name? And I will say to them, depart from me, for I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. When I look at this passage and it says, hey, if you don't have love, then you're nothing. It profits you nothing. That's what it means. It profits you absolutely nothing in this life or the life to come. This love is a new kind of love. It's a powerful kind of love. It's the love that covers a multitude of sins. It's the love that when I'm sharing and speaking it, that it just turns away the wrath of God. This is a love that's to control you and me. Matter of fact, he says it in a very definitive way. This love of God controls us. You want to talk about something new? We all need to experience this new kind of love in a new, fresh way. Because this is what he's talking about in this passage. These are the new things of God. These are the new things of your life as a believer in Christ. And I want you to notice, because I know there's some of you here that you're going through really struggles today. There's really things that are happening in your life that are real. Some of us have gone through loss. Some of us are just going through sickness and those kinds of things. And we need a word like this. But if I even give my body to be burned but do not have love, it profits me nothing. It doesn't even profit you heaven. This is the love that controls the church. It's supposed to control you and me. And I want you to notice what he says. This love, this perfect love, this love of Christ is patient, it's kind, it's not jealous, it doesn't brag, and it's not arrogant. This love, in verse 5, it doesn't act unbecomingly. In other words, it's not rude. And it never seeks its own, and it's never provoked, and it never takes into account a wrong suffered. This is the holy, good, new love of God. Can you imagine? I always like to think of it in terms of like this. I mean, I look at all these things, and it just can wrap it all up that says, hey, love is kind, love is patient, it's not provoked, and it doesn't take into account a wrong suffered. Wow. The kind of love of the world is that we have a ledger. Let me ask you a question. Are you glad that there's no ledger of your wrongs and your rights in heaven? It's no ledger. I had a coach told us, football team, all 60 of us, in his Cajun drawl, guys, you're either going to do right or wrong. And God's tallying that up. And all the things you do right, he's tallying. And everything that you do wrong. And if you come to him and the ones things that you've done wrong are more than the ones you do right, you're going to hell. And if the things you did right are more than the things that you did wrong, you're going to heaven. It's a works-based salvation. It's a tally. This is what you've done wrong to God. This is what you've done right for God. And somehow that's going to balance it out when the scripture says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. When he says it's our sin that has violated the work of God in our lives and the relationship of God, and the only thing I can do is to cry out for his mercy, cry out for his love, to believe that what he did 2,000 years ago he did for me because he loves me. It's a great kind of love that God shows to you and me when we have those seasons of rebellion, those seasons of that are just not profitable for us. Listen, this love, it never fails. It never fails. But what does he say? All these gifts, they're going to fail one day. They're going to be done away with one day. They're going to cease one day. Knowledge even will be done away with. Listen, we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. But when we become men and women, we do away with childish things. For now, we're looking in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I've been fully known by this great God. But now faith, hope, love abide these three. The greatest of these is love. It's the love in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, that says God demonstrates his own love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. One will hardly die for a righteous man. Although some may dare do that, but who dies for the evil one? our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the love that he has shed abroad in our hearts. It's an active love. It's a miracle working love. It's something that takes away the pain. It takes away the grief, takes away the junk, takes away the stuff, takes away the strongholds in my life. It's the love of Christ. Is there a journey? Yes, it's a journey. Is it a process? Yes, it's a process. So we're going to see in just a moment. It's a new kind of love. But it's also a new way of life. Notice, the love of Christ controls us, having concluded that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, watch, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. It's a new way of life. You've heard me say it. You've heard me speak it lots of times. It moves us from a self-directed life to a God-directed life. We're not longer living for ourselves. We're no longer living for, watch this, the carton here. We're no longer living for that. We're living for the one who died and rose again on our behalf. Is that not the confession that Ryland made this morning? That we believe that God, that Jesus died and God raised him up from the dead. Why? So we'll no longer live in for ourselves, but for the one who died for us. Not pretending it's easy. I can look back over even this last week dealing with selfish motives. We're still there. The flesh is still there. By no means perfect. Sometimes just right out wrong. I know the struggle. Walk it. Yeah, your pastor walks it. Pastor can get offended. Your pastor can get mad. Your pastor can get impatient, right? I can do it. But the love that's to control me is a love that moves beyond. So that I'm living this life in a new way. Where I'm not living for Fritcher, but I'm living for the one who died for me. And I'm not living for any man or any woman. I'm not living for my family. I'm living for the one who died for me first and foremost. No, it's a new kind of love and it's a new way of life. But it's also a new kind of perspective. A new kind of perspective. Look at verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we've even known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. I like this. Let me ask you, do you want people to know you by your flesh? I'm talking about your sinful nature. No, you don't want them to know you by that. But how many judgments, critical spirit, do we make of folks from how they lived? And even sometimes how they're living. We make this judgment, and we don't have this anticipation and this hope that God's doing something in the work. That just as we hold on to the promise that God is at work, and he's doing his will and good pleasure like we saw last week, and he's making all things new in my life, why do I not want to share that in faith with the body? Do you want to be defined by your past? How you lived? According to the flesh? I think also it's like, can also mean like David. You remember Samuel's going to anoint a king in Jesse's household. 8 sons, the oldest passes by and he says, ah, surely the Lord's anointed. Good looking, tall, look at him. You know, Saul was tall, right? And what does God say to him? He says, look, don't recognize his flesh. Don't look at his stature. The Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I've rejected him. For God sees not as man sees, for a man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. How many times have you looked at somebody from the flesh, in the flesh, and you were totally wrong about them? They had something about them that you didn't see, that you didn't know, that you didn't notice. I don't want to be judged by my past failures, because my God says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So why in the world would I want to condemn somebody? Why would I want to walk in a critical spirit? Now listen, I know there's people that you have to put boundaries on. Please hear what I'm saying here. That's very important. People that are dangerous in some ways to your mental health, your emotional health, your physical health. But I want to ask God to do a work in that person as I keep my distance, and that's okay. But I just love what Paul says. He said, even Paul recognized Jesus in the flesh as something other than until God met him and he saw him as he really was. Paul rejected him. Paul was killing people, bringing them to prison because they were believing in him. No, it's a new kind of love. It's a new way of life. You want to know new things. It's a new kind of perspective. Don't you want to have that kind of perspective today? That I'm looking at people from a different perspective of who God is and what God wants to do in their life as well as in my life. This is where we walk in forgiveness. This is where we walk no longer yoked to that person. This is where we see this new kind of perspective, no longer recognizing one another according to the flesh. Oh, he can preach good. And yet can be the most immoral person around. It's true. See it all the time. Disappointed. No, we want to look at what God can do in a person's life. Not as just the appearance of things. Now, you know, I know there's a scripture that talks about judging those inside the church, and I think that's really, really important. He just says, don't quit judging people that are outside. That's what he says. This is a new creation. It's the new kind of love. It's the new kind of life. It's a new kind of perspective, a new creation where old things are past and new things are always coming. And that's what he says in the first, kind of the cornerstone, the piece of this message that's so important. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things passed away. Aorist tense, past tense. Behold, new things have come, perfect tense. And all these things are from God. Now watch, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and then gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, I want to say this. It's really important to know that what reconciliation is. Reconciliation literally means to mutually change. It's how he changes you. It's how he brings you into a reconciled relationship with God. It's how God saves. It's how God delivers. It's how God moves. It's how God makes us new. There's a really fancy word that's used in the Greek twice, once in Matthew, once in Titus 3, verses 3 through 7. I want you to let go of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're probably going to just end on this, not going to finish this message this week. But I want you to go to Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. There's a word here that's called regeneration. Okay. Where God regenerates a person. It's where he saves, regenerates, and renews. And I want you to notice it because it's a really important concept. Notice. Let's just read the context. Verse 1. Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. Why? Because we once were foolish ourselves. We were disobedient, we were deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice, envy, hateful, hating one another. But watch this. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us. Not on the basis of deeds which we've done in righteousness, but according to his great mercy. Now watch, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Notice, when the kindness of our God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared. Here's that great love, this great love, this new kind of love that makes a difference in people's lives because it made a difference in yours. And he says he regenerates. Now, regeneration is just the new birth by the grace of God, that change by which the will and enmity of man against God and his ways are subdued, and a principle of supreme love to God, to his word, is implanted in the heart. That's from Webster's original dictionary. It's a change, folks. It's a new birth. We see it in John 3:3 when Jesus answers and says to Nicodemus, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, he'll go on and say, unless you're born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And you remember, Nicodemus says, well, how do I go back into my mother's womb and I'm born again? No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being born by the Spirit of God. I'm talking about being born from above, where you are totally changed. It's a new life. Do you remember when that happened to you? You came to Jesus and you knew you were born again. You knew that you were changed by God. You, in that regeneration, he reconciled you to himself. In other words, I was at enmity with him, as scripture says here. And then when I was walking in that enmity, he did something so great. He reached down and saved me. By his mercy, he regenerated me. By his grace, he would seal me. He'd pour out upon me richly the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Yeah, it's a salvation. It's a regeneration. It's a renewal. And it's the new birth. John also talks about it in 1 John 3:14 when he talks about passing from death into life. We know that we've passed out of death into life because what? Because we love the brethren. He who does not love is still abiding in death. It's God making you alive, Ephesians 2:4. But God being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved and raised us up with him. It's you putting on the new man, the new self. Colossians 3:9-10. He says, you have laid aside the old self and have put on the new self, being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. And then it's a relationship with God that's always new. In the life verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Freedom, liberty. Let me ask you a question. If you're in Christ, where is the Spirit of God right now? What?
Within me.
Within me, right here, right? And my Bible says wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Sorry for poking you. It's freedom right there in the middle. In the middle of your life, in the middle of your marriage, in the middle of your family, right there in the middle, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from the power of the enemy. The power of fear, worry, anxiety, stress, lust, bitterness, anger, all those things. Let me ask you, does that sound good? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. So, see, this is not just some kind of confession with the mouth. It's something that I'm believing in my heart. And it's something that I'm willing to act upon right now, right here. To know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is in me, the Spirit of God is in me, and he says wherever the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. And then he says this so eloquently, and I'm hoping to preach this series one day soon, but it's just what he says is that all these things, they're from God. All these new things. And this is a new work, a new word. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And we all, with an unveiled face, we're beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And we're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, from glory to glory, from glory to glory, to glory to glory to glory. This is the promise, folks. Of a new life in Christ. When he says the old's passed away, it means the old's passed away. And there's a new thing happening in my life. And it's a new relationship. I'm just going to say it this way. We shine brighter and brighter. We move from faith to faith. We move from glory to glory. It's a growth. I hear me. It's a maturity in Christ. But I put my eyes on him, the author and perfecter of my faith, who for his own joy endured the cross, despised the shame, so that one day he'll sit at the right hand of God, ruling and reigning and putting all things under his feet. This is the God we serve, the God who became man so that we might become like him. What's so great about this, all these things, they're from God. And it's from this reconciliation work. But then I think about it in these terms because I said, it says, hey, not only did I reconcile you, but I gave you a ministry of reconciliation. And I've committed to you the word of reconciliation. It's a powerful thought, folks, that just as he reconciled me and used other people in my life to reconcile me to him, he wants to use you. I believe this is why most people, quote, who are not growing in their faith, it's not growing in their faith. It's because they're not operating out of the ministry of reconciliation that God has called you to. And you say, well, what do I do about that? Well, you call me up. You call one of our staff, elder, Sunday school teacher. Get you to the place that you're being a part of the reconciliation work of God. Because the Bible says in this passage of Scripture, and I'll close with this, that we are ambassadors for Christ. I told you to let go of it. I'm trying to capture it back. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, right? Now, he gives us this ministry of reconciliation. He's reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he's committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we're ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making appeal through us, we're begging you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Let me ask you a question. Does your life, who you are as a man, a woman, husband, wife, son, or daughter in Christ Jesus, does the love of God in you compel people to the same love that says, oh, be reconciled to God? I want to have what you've got. How do you do it? Through the trial and through the trouble and struggle and all those things to maintain the peace, the patience, the love, the life that you maintain. It's the ministry of reconciliation. I'm at one with God who saves and delivers me. And it's such a powerful thing because let me tell you about an ambassador. An ambassador, especially back in the day, sent to, say, Russia or England or China, that ambassador marches in to that premier, to that president, to that prime minister and says, this is exactly what this president is saying to you. He doesn't do his own interpretation of it. He doesn't mince words. He doesn't say anything different than what his president says. If he does, he can get fired. Because he said something on his own and not by his great president. You're ambassadors for Christ. You have a word of reconciliation. And I'm just going to tell you, it's based upon the word of God. If you're trying to live a faith that doesn't have the standard of God's scripture, it is not the faith of the Bible. It's not. Standard of God's word. It's not what man thinks. It's not what culture thinks. It's not the cult things that are, quote, changing in culture. We're being transformed in the image of Jesus. Jesus isn't being conformed into our image. We're ambassadors for Christ. We've got this gospel message to proclaim. And then I want you to see this. He ends up in verse 21 that says, hey, he who made him, that's Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf on that Christ, on that cross. So that why? So that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It's a new nature, folks. That's why when we talk in these confessions, my nature is divine. Oh, you still got the old man in you, the old woman in you. But you got a nature that's divine. That's why we put to death deeds of the flesh and we put on the Spirit of God. This is why we walk by the Spirit and not the flesh, so that we don't fulfill the deeds of the flesh, but the fruit of the Spirit by the power of God. Bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? Lord, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Oh, God, I pray that this get deep down in every one of us today, that we're new creations. The old's passed away. We're no longer defined by the old. We're defined by something new, something fresh, something great, the work of God in our lives. That's what defines us. We're no longer yoked to the past. We're no longer yoked to that man, that woman, that teacher. Yoked to you, Lord. I'm yoked to you. It's a new day. It's a new life. It's a new love, a new perspective, a new ministry, a new nature. And oh, I want to thank you, Lord, that there's mercies that are new every morning and that every day is new. To walk out the new ministries you've given us, ministries of reconciliations, reconciliation as ambassadors for Christ. Oh God, I pray that this would birth within us a hope and an anticipation of what you want to do in us and through us as new creatures in Christ. It's your promise, and it's a magnificent declaration that I pray would get deep down into our hearts, individually and corporately as the church, so that we are truly a local church that represents the body of Christ. Oh God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would bless this word. It would not return void to any of us, but accomplish what you desire. And if there's something, one thing, two things that were just that just came to the top in anybody's mind or heart, that we'd embrace it, we'd believe it, we'd live it. Father, I want to pray for this couple that left here that we don't know who. And I ask your mercy and grace upon them right now in the name of Jesus. I pray for Craig Scoville right now in Cambodia. I ask that you'd bless his way, Lord, as he speaks the word of reconciliation. And God, I just ask that as he goes, we go with him today. I pray that you'd prompt us in the night, that you'd prompt us in the day, that we need to pray for our brother, especially as he moves into the big country where our people group is. Lord, I just ask that you would favor his way. And God, I pray for every man, every woman, every son, every daughter in our church, especially those here today. I ask that you'd pour out for them a blessing today of a word that they move from this place knowing exactly who they are and what they have in Jesus. Exactly who they are and what they have in Jesus. And then exactly who you are in what you do in our lives. Oh God, I say, Maranatha, come quickly. Fulfill your word, fulfill your work. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, let's stand together. I'm really grateful that you're here.
So this couple... This couple was here for the dedication. It's a friend of the Chinese. So tell us what's going on.
I just started out. I got a text message from them that their house just got on fire. So
okay.
I just asked Pastor Mike.
And their names are what?
Isabel and Phil.
Okay.
Hayes.
Okay. So will you let us know what's going on, yes, what they need, and all those things, and we will be helped.
They're brand new owners, maybe 2 weeks old.
They're what?
Brand new owners on the house.
Okay. Okay. So, okay. All right. So again,
Phil and Issa.
Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray for Phil and Issa today. We ask in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit would rest upon them right now, right here. Lord, I want to pray, God, for just whatever they're walking into today, that your Spirit would lead them, bless them, that the presence of God would overwhelm. And I pray that the presence of the body, the presence of family, the presence of your kingdom would rest upon them, and that the peace of Jesus in the midst of this time would just really, really move and work. I want to thank you for Jonathan, his friends today, family that's here, and we pray for this specific couple today, for the grace and mercy of God in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Okay. So the Lord bless you, keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. Lord be gracious to you. Lift up his countenance towards you, give you peace right now, right here in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right. Go be new people. Go be new people.